Hey, everybody. This is the Success Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Johnson. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 4. Today, we're going to talk about conventional loans and how they're going to be helpful for you and your home buying process. Today, I have with me none other than my cousin, my brother. My Leadership Longview alumni class of 2018, brother. Roberto Monsivais of Bancorp South, right here in Longview, Texas. How you doing today, bro?
I'm good, cuz. I appreciate that introduction, man. You know, we had so much fun on the retreat, man.
Yeah,
you know, I told you to reel me back in because I'm about to get off into a rabbit trail.
Yeah.
My fondest memory of that trip, besides getting to know you, Alicia, and everybody else, is we were walking back to the cabin after some exercise. Mm-hmm. And Alicia said something. She said something. It was to you or something. And I just looked at her and I said, "You reaching?" and that struck this chord that we just all died laughing.
Yeah.
We've been tight ever since.
yeah. Man, I tell you what, man, that really felt natural. Like I walked in kind of, I'm not much of a social person. And I feel awkward in a lot of spaces, man. But even, I mean, from my roommate, Ryan Small, to, you know, getting to know you and Colt and Justin, Nick, everybody, man, it was really natural kind of friendship, I think, that was formed there. As a matter of fact, I was just calling several other people, like David Stanley and all them the other day. Nice. So I'm going to tag him on the post and let him know I put his name out here. great people, though, man. Really enjoyed that time. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself and who you are and why you're qualified to talk about this today?
Awesome. Hey, man. Well, thanks again for the invite. You know, I will say that I was just telling somebody else that I'm not really a big fan of, I'm not going to jump on these opportunities, but mm-hmm. I do them because my friends like you invite me. And so I just want to honor your request, man, because, you know, we're all out here trying to accomplish something important for someone else other than just ourselves. So that gives you a little bit of background on me of where my mindset is and kind of my heart is. But yeah, as far as background, so I've been in banking since 2004. I've been doing mortgages since 2016, loving every minute of it. One thing that I've had to really wrap my arms around is reading. And this kind of gives your listeners to a little bit of our end of thing is. And so the point of reading is I'm not someone that's going to pick up a book and read because I enjoy it. Right. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's something I have to make myself do.
Me too.
Well, with mortgages, there's so many guidelines we have to read and you know, work through to get your customers to the closing table. But so, you know, one of those small things, I'm not a big reader, but I definitely do read when I have to. I am getting back on track. I'm a husband of 19 years going on 20. I got two young men that are 19 and 14 years old.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, man, mortgages has been definitely, besides my family and my faith, has been my third part of my life, taking up a lot of time of it.
I for one just want to appreciate, for one, it seems like guidelines are always changing on the mortgage side. Is that fair to say?
Especially right now with COVID, and I guess we can get into it once we get in your questions, but guidelines right now, it's kind of a moving scale. It just depends. With COVID, you know, people losing their jobs, unfortunately, or just jobs changing, hours reducing, things like that. There had to get some, there were some guidelines put in place for that kind of situation. And now, you know, we see the market really fluctuating as far as property values, prices, things like that. So all of those guidelines are really a goal for the buyer to be put in a good situation. Because if everybody remembers the 2008 market crash. And if you don't know enough about it, for those listeners, look into it, because you'd be pretty blown away of of things that went mm-hmm. down. That was actually one of the things that encouraged me to move into mortgages, just seeing what they did and understanding mm-hmm. how they did it and why they did it just blew me away. And, and now, you know, it's been a good move for me, but it's a moving scale on purpose, just to accommodate the needs of the buyer, but put them in a good situation too.
Right. I mean, with that being said, and this podcast, for any listeners, this podcast is to build up the confidence in you as a listener, a potential buyer or seller, investor, and especially even homeowners. You know, I try to make sure that people have information. Today, we're primarily focusing on the buying side of this. So this podcast is again, is information to build up your confidence. That's my main goal in all of this. The reason why I'm doing this show is because I recognize that with information, you get understanding. With that understanding, you become more confident in the decision that you have to make as a buyer.
For sure.
So with that, we'll kind of jump into, you know, just on what you were just saying right there, as far as everything kind of fluctuating, everything, what other market trends do you see right now that are affecting buyers?
So, you know, there's three big things right now, really two, but the main things that come to mind for me are your increasing prices on the properties. Mm-hmm. I have a buyer in Austin, Texas, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to qualify him for what he needs, because what he qualifies for, there's really nothing for that purchase price amount that he's going to qualify for. And so, you know, I'm waiting for that realtor to call me back so we can have that conversation of the reality of things. Now, mm-hmm. Here in East Texas, in these smaller towns compared to Austin and Houston, you're not, yes, we're seeing an increase in sales prices, but not to the extent that those big cities are having. So, you know, so buyers still have power when it comes to whatever income they're working with. But those mm-hmm. bigger cities, it's getting real difficult to accommodate for somebody that only makes, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 a month. It's really difficult. Right. But besides that, you got the rates are settling. Right now, the rates are kind of settling to pre-COVID conditions. You can still get a really good rate. But as far as the 2.6 and 2.7 for a 30-year fixed, it's not that low anymore. Now, I do want to say, because that comes with a little bit of a caveat, we can get you that low, but you're going to pay for it. It's not going to be a par rate.
Yeah.
So when customers, for those listeners, a par rate just means the rate at no cost to you. Now, if we're going to get that low on the interest rate, you've got to purchase that rate, or otherwise called, you got to buy points. So pay attention to those things on your sales, on your disclosures. And then the final note on that, Mike, is right now is not the time for pre-qualifications. It's the time for pre-approvals.
Yeah.
You know, as well as I do, when you get to the negotiation table, you better show up right with that pre-approval.
Right.
Exactly. The sellers ain't trying to entertain a heartfelt letter or a pre-qualification. They need to know you're good to go. Those are the three main points.
I've had to try to kind of change my strategy as an agent. So I'm pretty, you know, I like to go along with the flow with people, but then I recognized that I really wasn't helping people. I've had to really come to a place of just saying, hey, look, if you don't have a pre-approval outside of our initial meeting, we can't go any farther. Somebody may end up deciding, hey, we'll continue to work with you and do those things, but I can't do it because I'm actually setting you up for failure. If you get all the way to the closing table and you've got this, I mean, to the offer table, and you've got competition with three or four other people, they're going to look at this pre-qualification letter and say, you're not ready, you know?
Yep.
So it feels mean to me at first, because I try to be very nice to a lot of people, but also too, I recognize like I'm enabling a bad habit, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
People stepping in and not having everything prepared. And then I would witness people get discouraged because they were not, you know, able to, they weren't able to get an offer accepted because they didn't have that approval. Can you tell us really quickly the difference between that pre-qualification and that pre-approval?
Yeah, sure. So pre-qualification is, if you tell me you make $5,000 a month and I've pulled your credit, and then you tell me that, you have $10,000 in your savings account, in your bank account. okay, so I can look at your credit and credit score and credit history. I'm using what you tell me between your employment and income and your bank assets.
Mm-hmm.
If those two things are not verified, or really if all three of those things are not verified, I can't provide you a pre-approval. That's a pre-qualification. If I can verify those three things, now we're talking about a pre-approval. Now you're talking about a strong offer letter when you find the house you want. And on that point, real quick, Mike, I will say that when I'm talking to my customers, I tell them that there's four points to a home buying process or home buying application. The fourth one I'm not going to discuss because that's talking about the property they're looking at. That don't even matter until the first three points are fixed up. We're talking about employment, income, credit score and credit history, and then we're talking about bank assets. Those three things need to be strong and verified to have a pre-approval. If any one of those things are missing, a pre-approval may not be as strong, but pre-approval is the thing to have in hand to come to you with to make a good, strong offer on a house.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And man, with that pre-approval, as far as what, I guess we'll kind of take some of the latter questions that I had. We'll stick right here for just a second. Sure. As far what documentation does a person need to bring with that pre-approval before they apply? What kind of things can they have prepared already?
So what they don't have control of really is their employer, right? There a lot of these employers do report to third party services. So when I typed up their application or when they provide me their application, you know, we use a third party system to verify their credit score and credit history or just their credit. And then we also use a third party system to verify their employment and income.
Mm-hmm.
If their employer is not providing that information to an employer, to a third party system that we can access, then it can create a challenge in trying to verify their employment to then provide a pre-approval. Not to say it's impossible, but it just makes it a little bit more difficult. If we can get their tax returns or W-2s and recent pay stubs, that can circumvent that third-party system to verify their employment and income. And then as far as self-employed borrowers, well, self-employed borrowers have to provide at least their most recent tax return. But to have a strong pre-approval, they should be ready to provide 2 years tax returns and a current year's profit and loss statement. You know, earlier we were talking about COVID guidelines or additional changing guidelines with self-employed borrowers. We have to have a year-to-date profit and loss statement and 3 months of business bank statements to match up with that profit and loss statement. So just being prepared for those types of things can help us provide them and you a pre-approval. So again, if your employer doesn't, and you're not really gonna know, you could ask your employer, but if they don't report it to a third party system, your employment income, then we'll probably have to ask for more documentation so we can provide you that pre-approval letter.
Gotcha. So a person's gotten their pre-approval. Well, they've gotten their documentation together. And today's topic especially is about conventional loans. Can you talk about the difference between a conventional loan and an FHA loan, which we discussed last week?
Yeah, for sure. So a conventional loan is, so let's just, the obvious is a conventional loan is not backed by the government. Okay, an FHA loan is a government loan. It's insured by the government. So they're going to be more lenient on your any credit issues. They're going to be more lenient on the minimum down payment for experienced home buyers. And for example, if you're an experienced home buyer or a first time buyer with FHA, you only need 3.5% down unless you want to put more down. Right. With conventional for first time buyers, you have to put 3% down minimum. Mm-hmm. Or if you're an experienced buyer, you need to have 5% down at least. Mm-hmm. For those that are stuck on, I don't want to say stuck, that's a negative word, insist on a manufactured home, you know, they're going to have to provide at least 5% no matter what.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, I can't do manufactured financing right now with conventional, but that's just a little factoid there for you. Now, again, on conventional is a little more relaxed on the property conditions. Okay. Mm-hmm. So FHA, if there's chip paint, a little bit of rotted wood, you got to get that fixed before closing time. And you know as well as I do, that can be a little bit of a pain. Not to mention additional cost on the customer. But the conventional side, with a little bit of rotted wood or a little bit of chip paint, it's really not going to matter. It's not going to affect us being able to close on the loan. And additionally, when you're talking about interest rates for the conventional loan, so that's another one of those moving scales, okay? So you only need a 620 to get a Fannie Mae conventional loan, right? Now, when you're talking about seller-friendly loan programs, that's something the seller wants to see. They want to see you're coming at them with a conventional loan. Just because it's a little bit easier, right? And I think you can attest to that, Mike. So with a conventional loan, you only need a 620 score. With that 620 score, you could qualify for, you could still qualify for the conventional. However, you're not going to get all the discounts on the interest rate for the conventional loan. Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. If you have a 680 credit score, your rates, your interest rate's going to be a little bit better on the conventional loan. Okay. So, but if you have a right at a 620 or whatever below 660 or below 680, your interest rate's not going to be as good. It might be a quarter to three eighths of a percent lower. The other thing it's going to affect is the private mortgage insurance. The mortgage insurance is also dependent on your credit score. So,
No, I didn't know that.
If you have a low 600 credit score, it's going to affect your PMI. So, if your interest rate is higher.
So well, does it affect the amount of PMI? Does that does it affect the amount of PMI or just having PMI period?
So I'll add to that in just a moment.
Okay.
So because of your score, if you have a low 600 score, it's going to affect your interest rate. It's going to affect your private mortgage insurance. And so we know that if anything affects your payment, it's going to affect your debt to income ratio.
Right.
And so on the conventional side, the highest we can go is 49% debt to income ratio. So those types of things will affect. So the point of me saying all that is if your score is in the low 600s, conventional may not be the best option for you, even though you qualify for it. You might have to look at FHA. Now, to answer your question, Mike, the amount of PMI, it's really not going to change the amount of PMI. But the cost of the PMI can be manipulated. So let's say they have a low to mid 600 credit score and they qualify for the conventional loan. Well, how can you mitigate that? How can you, you know, help out the monthly payment since it's got to have a PMI that's going to be a little bit more expensive because of your credit score? Well, the way we can do that is if the borrower has some savings that they can pay a larger portion of that mortgage insurance ahead of time at closing, then the amount they pay on mortgage insurance in their payment can be reduced.
Okay.
So there's so many little things that can be adjusted and, and you know, again, that moving scale.
Do you have, is there any of that kind of wiggle room with FHA loans or is that?
On the mortgage insurance?
So mortgage insurance with FHA loans, what's the difference? It's fixed. Okay. And my understanding, that's for the life of the loan as well, right?
For the life of the loan.
Now with PMI on conventional loans, at what, you know, because I actually had somebody call me about this the other day. They're trying to get rid of the PMI. They got a conventional loan. They're trying to get rid of the PMI. At what point can you approach your mortgage company to say, hey, how can we get rid of this?
So at 80% loan to value, meaning, for example, if the house is worth $100,000 and their balance is $80,000 or less, you can go ahead and request it to be removed. At 78% loan to value, it's going to fall off.
Okay. Automatically.
It'll fall off. So that's the beauty. That's one of the beautiful things about conventional as well. So you don't have to pay that for the life of the loan.
I know for mine, I mean, you know, the personal matters. I for one, we had a conventional loan Mine's about $120 a month. You know, I'm actually kind of salivating for the day. I mean, it's crazy, you know, when you get more kids, every little bit helps, you know. So I'm just like, oh yes, I can't wait to get to that.
I know it, man. Cent,
you know, so that we can get that extra $120 a month. You know, that's a grocery bill for a week, you know. Yeah.
Well, you know, Mike, with the way the appraisals are coming back, you might want to explore having your loan refinanced. Because mm-hmm. an appraisal would be requested, and if it comes back with the 80%, dude, you'll be good. So, side note there, something for you and Alicia to talk about.
Yeah,
it's something that you could come across. But
let's say you got an FHA loan. Can you refinance to a conventional loan or something like that? Is that possible?
I'm glad you asked. Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. glad you asked, because that was something I was going to bring up. So if somebody needed an FHA loan to get into the house down mm-hmm. the road, you can absolutely refinance of the FHA. Oh heck yeah.
Oh man.
And one thing I wanted to add too, Mike, just as a, you know, sometimes you might say too much and confuse the audience or your borrowers, but just because you mentioned the 120, right? If you're paying 120, that means that your credit score was pretty good. But if your score is, like I was mentioning earlier, if your score is a little bit lower, then your mortgage insurance is probably going to be around $200 to $250.
Gotcha.
You know, don't stick by that, but that's generally
right what you can expect. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna push us along, man, because we you talked about the rabbit hole. I mean, there's so much to talk about. This, I don't know if you want to actually say, I actually prefer in this market especially a conventional loan for a buyer. Is that something that you suggest, like people try to aim for, or what? What are your thoughts on that?
So that's interesting, because a lot of times the borrowers, especially if they're a first-time buyer, they don't know the difference, right? And all they want to know is if they qualify. Right. So it's our job as lenders to try to qualify them for the best product available for them. So naturally, conventional is going to be most lenders' knee-jerk reaction. Mm-hmm. Unless they're program specific, if they have to offer whatever, but conventional is going to be the way to go. And if we can't go conventional, we're obviously going to look at the other products, be it either because of the credit score, debt to income ratio, because whatever, right? But you know, conventional is definitely the way to go, because again, being a seller's market, and those listeners that are listening should understand that right now it's a seller's market, because they're getting what they want as far as price range on the house right now. But being a seller's market, you want to make them happy as well.
Right.
So whatever you can provide them that they like and accept your offer, that's what you want to hook them up with.
Yeah, I've really had to educate a lot of people that are new buyers, especially, you know, coming into this market, that, hey, in this, you know, there's little things that you can't ask for anymore, like surveys and things like that. Like you can't ask the seller to pay for a survey. You know, I literally this time last year, well, it was more like May of last year, I remember losing out on several deals by $200 or $300. Literally the seller, and now the seller's agent would tell me, hey, they beat you out by about $200. And I remember thinking, man, we asked for a home warranty, you know, which I say is standard. Like, hey, you know, for your own benefit, a home warranty is beneficial, you know. So it's definitely a lot of things. This is something that we're definitely having to consider coming into this market in order to be successful as a buyer. A couple more questions here that I've come across. As far as can somebody come on and co-sign to get a conventional loan, say you've got a young borrower and they want their parents to come on and co-sign with them. Is that possible?
It is very possible. But my initial response to that question is, are they going to qualify?
Yeah.
Because say, for instance, I get my mom to co-sign for me on my purchase. Well, how much debt does mom have that it's not going to affect the loan decision? You know, of course, mom's credit, and so on. So it when we package it up like that, it's just like any other application we look at. It's got to qualify. So, but yes, it's absolutely doable. Absolutely doable.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Let's say a borrower has had issues in the past with a foreclosure or a bankruptcy or something like that. Is there a way to bounce back from that and apply for a conventional loan or qualify for a conventional loan later?
Yes. So what's interesting about that is you got multiple levels on that. So Chapter 7 and 11, whether it's dismissed or discharged, it's 4 years. It's 4 years. And there is a difference as well on whether it's dismissed or discharged. And then Chapter 13, if it's been discharged, it's 2 years. If it's been dismissed, it's 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference is, no matter what type of chapter bankruptcy you have, dismissed means they let it go. Discharge means you paid your dues. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference. When I was writing my notes, the easiest way to say it is Chapter 13 means you paid it back.
Gotcha.
Chapter 7 means you got a clean slate, but you didn't pay nothing back. Gotcha. So that's why with the Chapter 7 and 11, you're looking at 4 years.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And so again, those guidelines, man.
Yeah.
Read.
But everything, and it's so crazy. You know, I tell people all the time, especially I've got a couple of nephews that are young in their young 20s. I said, man, I didn't realize that everything that I was doing was creating a picture of me to lenders, especially. It was creating a picture of me, like what kind of borrower am I? You know, am I somebody that's faithful, or is somebody that's going to be, you know, pretty sketchy, they're going to have to work with, you know, and the stronger I made myself look on paper, the easier it was for me to qualify for opportunities that I wanted, like purchasing my first home. A question came up in my head as far as, like, let's say somebody's had a short sale in the past. Does that affect them moving forward? Do you know?
It will, but of course it's going to be taken into account with everything else too. So a short sale is going to be, the bank sold it for less than what they owed. So it's definitely mm-hmm. going to hurt them.
Right.
But like with any other type of application, it's going to be on a case by case scenario. So
Gotcha. Well, man, we're almost out of time, man. I feel like we just got started.
I do too.
We're running low on time now.
I will tell you. Let me add one thing. You know, one of the questions we talked about before was your conventional loans versus an in-house loan, which is also called a portfolio loan.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
typically a portfolio loan is an in-house loan. To be more specific, we have a product called Right at Home. Gotcha. It's 100% financing, no down payment, 30-year fixed. The trick is that most of the guidelines, the majority of the guidelines, mirror conventional loan, Fannie Mae loan financing requirements.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So when you're talking about in-house loans, for the most part, it mirrors a Fannie Mae conventional loan requirements.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is, though, the neat thing is with our portfolio loans, there's some things you don't have to have or have to do like you would on Fannie Mae. So, for example, on a portfolio loan, there's no mortgage insurance. Hallelujah. Mm. Okay. There's no wasted money. You're not paying anybody else anything else. So that's right. One great thing. Some other things are because it's a loan that belongs to the bank or the broker, they can pretty much make up the rules they want. So if the
borrower, money, huh? They can do what they want.
Yeah. So if the borrower is lacking on something, if they're strong enough in another area, the bank might say, we're okay. Go ahead and
do it. Slide. Mm-hmm.
So those are definitely good options and a little bit of difference.
And for those who may want more information about the Right at Home loan, I've actually done an interview with Roberto before. And you can actually go find that on my Facebook business page. And I'll try to repost that. I'll post a link to it in the description and caption for you to go back if you want to find out more information about that. Specific loan is not anywhere else but at Bancorp South. So it's good information for you to look into and definitely to have in your in your pocket. And my last question as we get ready to wrap up is, how can a person find out if they qualify for a conventional loan with you? Like, what way can they apply with you?
For sure. So first of all, feel free to call me, 903-291-3912. You're also welcome to call me on my cell phone, 903-445-3153. I have a Facebook page, Roberto Montevias Mortgages. My website, bancorpsouth.com/ Roberto Montevias. Or heck, just drop in and see me. It's you know, with COVID, it's so hard to meet up with people nowadays. Hopefully people are getting more comfortable. Come see me. It'd be good just to have a good conversation with whoever.
Where are y'all? Which office are you in?
So I'm actually located at the one on Hawkins. I'm two doors away from Andy's Custard there in Longview, Texas.
Gotcha.
So if you want to share an ice cream, holler at your boy.
If you bring him some custard, he'll approve you for sure. So.
But I
you
also,
heard that promise right here.
Man, you got me.
We get you in trouble.
That's all right. We can fix him up. I'll also spend some time in the Marshall, Texas office too.
Got you. Okay. Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Yep. Well, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for dropping your contact information. I'll make sure all that is part of this video as well. Y'all, please. I reach out to Roberto. I've been an agent for 4 years now. I oftentimes have to reach out because I only do one side of the business. I tell everybody, you got basically three entities that help you purchase a home. You got your title company who's helping you with the transfer of that home. You got me, your agent, who is helping you to find that home and make sure you get into a solid contract. And then, of course, you have to have the finances available if you're not bringing cash. Talk to someone on the financial side. And this brother here, Roberto Montevias, is somebody that I lean on even personally. Personally, I call Roberto for things that are going on with me personally that I would like to see change concerning my mortgage or household decisions that I'm making. So a wealth of knowledge here. Please feel free to, I lost my video there for a second. Sorry about that. But a wealth of knowledge here. Please reach out to Roberto. His information will be in the description, and also his Facebook page will be linked for the video on Facebook. So once again, any final thoughts, bro?
Man, just what you said, business continuity is important, man. We're all here together. We're here to help each other. So if we can inform each other of anything, help each other along the way, we're all here for each other. So no, man, I appreciate you inviting me. Like I told you, I just wanted to honor the invitation. Thanks, man, for having me. And I think it's super awesome that you're doing this podcast. So thanks again, man.
Hey, and congrats to you. I saw your name on as a nominee for Best of East Texas with the News Journal. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I saw
you. Dude, I'm
just, man. Congratulations.
I'm just glad somebody thought about me. I'm excited.
Right,
I'm through the roof on that, man. So.
Right. Well, when I saw your name up there, it was an instant nomination for myself. Like I said, y'all, nobody better. I tell people all the time, I never push anybody towards a lender. That's not my job. My job is to give you information. But I can tell you that I also don't suggest any lender that I don't feel will take care of my client, because it's a rub off on myself as well, that won't take care of my client to the utmost of their ability. And Mr. Roberto Montevias, everybody that I've sent his way, has decided to put an application in with him. He has, you know, just dumped information on them, probably more than they could even retain, but all good information for them to be able to close. We've closed several deals. So my brother, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the knowledge. And y'all, if you like this video, if you enjoyed the information, please like on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube, share on either platform. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can subscribe to this as well. Thank y'all very much. And this is the Success Estate Podcast, episode 4 about conventional loans. We will see y'all again next week. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Peace.
All right.